National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back, Jack. And it is 4-1.
On that ball. Jackson has it. The All-American tight end is going in. And Oklahoma takes the lead on a 71-yard touchdown play.
I was going to rip his heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lynx is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody as ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm Sinead.
Yo. Ooh. And welcome back to the Fix Sports Podcast, which is the realest and the blackest sports podcast you have ever heard in your entire life. Coming straight from the south, going down, audio shot talk right in your ear hole right here on this fabulous Friday. I am your host, Joseph Ward, and we bring you the realest sports podcast you have ever heard right here from the Freedom Train Network at www.freedomtrainradio.com, where it go down. As you know, this is the Friday show. This is the fantastic, freaky, fabulous Friday show that we bringing y'all for the fix, because we come 2 days a week. So sit back, put your feet up, make sure your toenails clipped, and sit back. Like I said earlier, I said sit back again, but don't worry, just ride with me. Listen to the fix, let everything go ahead, marinate in your ear hole, and then your life can be complete again, because I'm back into your life. Yeah, I'm back. So, man, we got some things to talk about. We got a little football, basketball, a little soccer, a little stuff like that, a little box, you know what I'm saying? We got a little stuff to talk about before we get to it, though. Before we get to it, remember that the Fix Sports Podcast is brought to you by On the Shoulders of Giants, which brings you African history at your fingertips and on the go through the African history book series, the blog series, the African history curriculum app, which is available in the Google Play Store. The YouTube channel, On the Shoulders of Giants YouTube channel, On the Shoulders of Giants nonprofit organization, as well as speaking engagements, lectures, keynote speaks, all of that. Break it down to you, www.ontheshouldersone.com to learn more about the books, the blogs, and everything, at www.ontheshoulders.org to learn more about the On the Shoulders of Giants nonprofit organization. African history at your fingertips and on the go. So go ahead, be a part of it. Subscribe to the On the Shoulders of Giants YouTube channel. Visit the website, visit the blog, and go ahead, purchase your book, On the Shoulders of Giants Volume 1 North America, On the Shoulders of Giants Volume 2 Central America, and be on the lookout for On the Shoulders of Giants Volume 3 South America, which is coming soon. So once again, www.ontheshoulders1.com or www.ontheshoulders.org. Yeah, throw your hands in the air and wave them like you just don't care. If you like fish and grits and all that, pimps get everybody to say, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. All right, let me give you a rundown of what we got going on today. Our HBCU spotlight will be shined at Lindsay Edwards, who is named the Meat Act Woman of the Year. We're going to learn more about Lindsay. We'll talk about these NBA awards. You know what I'm talking about? And then getting to an update on NBA free agency and all the things that's going down and all the stuff that's been speculated and all that stuff. Give you an update on the World Cup, because some people going home. Some people going on. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to round out the NFL Top 100. I gave y'all most of the list on Friday, but we're going to go ahead. Monday, but we're going to go ahead and finish it up today on Friday. So the NFL Top 100, and do a little discussion. I'm going to talk about the dead body that was found in the home of New York Giants cornerback Janoris Jenkins. And apparently an arrest has been made, so we're going to talk about that. Washington State University's quarterback Tyler Helinski apparently killed himself in January, and it's been found out that he had CTE. So we're going to talk about that. The former owner of the Carolina Panthers, the sexual predator himself, the Bulldog, Jerry Richardson, has been fined $2.7 million by the NFL for sexual and racial misconduct. We're going to talk about that. Jameis Winston is suspended 3 games for his sexual misconduct allegations that happened in the Uber driver's car. We'll talk about that. And my weekly rant going to be aimed at Deontay Wilder, the boxer Deontay Wilder, because I think he bullshit. I'm going to get into it. But I think Deontay bullshitting right now. And I think Deontay asking too much to not be the man. You did. So let's go ahead and get into it. Start with our HBCU spotlight. Spotlight. So the MEAC names Lindsay Edwards the 2018 Woman of the Year. So let's get our read on. And this is from MEACSports.com. The Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference, the MEAC, has named Lindsay Edwards from Bethune-Cookman University the 2018 Woman of the Year. The conference announced today, and this article was written on the 18th, right? The award, selected annually by the MEAC Senior Women Administration, celebrates the achievements of senior female student athletes who have excelled in academics, athletic service, and leadership. I want to congratulate Lindsay Edwards for having a spectacular career, not only in women's basketball, but in her academic pursuits as well, said the MEAC commissioner, Dr. Dennis Thomas. In addition, her service to the community is truly exceptional. I would like to thank the Bethune-Cookman University athletic staff, coaches, academic support personnel, and Lindsay's family, who had an influential part in Lindsay's success. I wish her continued success in her future endeavors. Edwards is a native of Indianapolis, Indiana, was part of 3 MEAC regular season championship squads with the Wildcats, sharing the title in 2015, 16, and 17, 18, and winning the outright 2016, 17, and her teams made 3 straight postseason WNIT appearances. This past season, she was one of 2 seniors on the BCU squad that set a program record for wins in the season with 24 and notched its second straight 20-win campaign. All right, now. In addition to helping the Wildcats establish themselves as one of the MEAC's top women's basketball programs, Edwards himself excelled in the classroom. She had a 3.83 GPA at Bethune-Cookman, where she majored in accounting, and she was named to the MEAC Commissioner's All-Academic Team 3 times, 2016 through 18. She was a member of the National Association of Black Accountants and served as president of BCU Student Athletic Advisory Committee. In addition, she had a hand in starting a Fellowship of Christian Athletes Huddle, the first of its kind in Bethune-Cookman's history. Given BCU's status as a faith-based institution, I didn't know that. And the busy nature of student-athlete schedules, Edwards realized there was potential to not only bring student-athletes together, but to bring them closer to Christ. Hallelujah. I said she going to bring Reverend Whittingham out of here. Hallelujah. BCU's first ever FCA huddle took place on April 23rd. For her efforts, Edwards was named FCA Serving Athlete of the Year. Hallelujah. Edwards will repeat the MEAC and its nominee. Edwards will represent the MEAC as its nominee for the NCAA Woman of the Year Award. The NCAA established this award in 1991 to celebrate the achievements of women in intercollegiate athletics. Now in its 27th year, the award is unique because it recognizes not only the athletic achievements of outstanding young women, but their academic achievements, community service, and leadership. The NCAA Woman of the Year will be announced on Sunday, October 28th, at the awards dinner in Indianapolis, Indiana, and she get to go home. Lindsay gets to go home to receive or to potentially receive the award. Lindsay Edwards, Morgan State tennis student athlete Danielle Thompson was the 2018 MEAC Woman of the Year runner-up. Thompson, who was also nominated for the NCAA Woman of the Year, Woman of the Year, graduated last month with a 3.1 GPA, earning a bachelor's degree in hospitality management. And that's a quick rundown on the MEAC Women of the Year honorees. In 2018, it was Renicia Lovelace at North Carolina A&T. She played softball. 2007, it was Courtney Smiley for Howard in basketball. 2008, Jessica Worsley, Maryland Eastern Shore in bowling. 2009, L'Oreal Smith, North Carolina A&T. Is that the same L'Oreal Smith that went to Ricketts? I wonder. For track and field, because that was track and field. If it was, one time for L'Oreal. 2010, Kaylin Washburn, Delaware State for bowling. 2011, Christina Fromm, Maryland Eastern Shore for bowling. 2012, Jasmine Hellefinger for Delaware State for bowling. 2013, Tania Falbo for Maryland Eastern Shore in bowling. 2014, Christina Epps, Coppin State for track and field. 2015, Mariana Alvarado, Nava, Maryland Eastern Shore for bowling. 2016, Jenny Tracy, North Carolina Central for softball. 2017, I can't say her name. She's from Maryland Eastern Shore. She in bowling. In 2018, Lindsay Edwards for Bethune-Cookman in basketball. So you know how we like to do over here at the Fix. We like to put your hands together for Lindsay Edwards for winning that MEAC Woman of the Year Award for 2018. She is a bowler, a shot caller, a 20-inch blade, Hyundai Impala, taller, she getting lit now. Triple gold, time to get lit, she got to get the highway. And she balling the flyway. She got to get bed away. Hey, Lindsay. Hey. One time for Lindsay Edwards for being the 2018 MEAC Woman of the Year, and a candidate for the 2018 NCAA Woman of the Year, representing Bethune-Cookman University. Hallelujah! Going down one time, Lindsay. One time for you, Mickey Ficky Mind. One time for you. One time for you. One time for you, Mickey Ficky Mind. Continuing our theme for basketball. Let's talk about these NBA awards. So, for the last 2 years, the NBA has decided to create an award show to give out its awards. It's league awards, it's NBA awards, it's team awards, things like that. And, let's go ahead and get into it, right? So, I'm going to go through the list and go through giving my commentary on the list. So, as most of you know, the NBA Most Valuable Player Award went to James Harden, the Beard. The Rookie of the Year went to Ben Simmons, the rookie for the Philadelphia 76ers. The NBA Sixth Man of the Year went to Lou Williams from the LA Clippers. The Defensive Player of the Year went to Rudy Gobert of the Utah Jazz. The Most Valuable Player, the Kia Most Valuable Player, Most Improved Player, Most Improved Player went to Victor Oladipo of the Indiana Pacers. NBA Coach of the Year went to Dwayne Casey, formerly of the Raptors, now of the Pistons. The NBA Executive of the Year went to Daryl Morey of the Houston Rockets. The NBA Sportsmanship Award went to Kemba Walker of the Charlotte Hornets. The NBA Sega Strong Award went to Dikembe Mutombo. The Lifetime Achievement Award went to Oscar Robinson. The Twyman Stokes Teammate of the Year Award went to Jamal Crawford of the Minnesota Timberwolves. The NBA Cares Community Assist Award went to Kevin Durant of the Golden State Warriors. The Play of the Year, the Plays of the Year, basically. So the Clutch Shot of the Year went to LeBron James. The Dunk of the Year went to Giannis Antetokounmpo. The Assist of the Year went to LeBron James. The Block of the Year went to Anthony Davis. And Handler of the Year went to Kyrie Irving. The Best Style went to Oklahoma City's Russell Westbrook, who won over Kyle Kuzma, LeBron James, James Harden, and Nick Young. The Hustle of the Year Award went to Amir Johnson of the 76ers. NBA All-First Team is Anthony Davis, Kevin Durant, James Harden, LeBron James, and Damian Lillard. NBA All-Rookie Team is Kyle Kuzma, Laurie Markkanen of the Bulls, Donovan Mitchell, Ben Simmons, and Jason Tatum. And NBA All-Defensive Team went to Rudy Gobert, Anthony Davis, Victor Oladipo, Drew Holiday, and Robert Covington. You know, Robert Covington has been in my HBCU spotlight before. So James Harden won the NBA MVP. Now, you know, LeBron could have won. But I ain't mad at James Harden for winning the NBA. I'm not mad at him for winning the NBA MVP. He had an amazing season, an incredible season. Of course, his year ended the way we expected it to end. But remember, the NBA MVP award is a regular season award. It's not a four-year award. If you want a four-year award, you got to win the NBA Finals MVP. You did. But James Harden, nevertheless, is the NBA MVP. Anthony Davis finished second in the voting. LeBron James finished third in the voting. And I'm not mad at that. I'm not mad. Ben Simmons won Rookie of the Year. Now, this one, I thought Donovan Mitchell could have won that. I thought Donovan Mitchell probably should have won Rookie of the Year. I understand why Ben Simmons won it. Ben was nice. So it was Ben Simmons, Donovan Mitchell, and Jason Tatum. I'm not mad. I thought all three could have won. Jason Tatum, you know, eventually took his team the farthest out of the three. Donovan Mitchell was the surprise. No one expected him to be as good as he was and to lead the Jazz back to where they were last year with Gordon Hayward. And to actually beat the Oklahoma City Thunder in the first round. They made it to the second round to face the Houston Rockets, where they were ousted 4-1. But Donovan Mitchell had a great year. Had a better year than Ben Simmons because the 76ers were put out by the Boston Celtics, who were led by Jason Tatum, who had a great argument, even though he finished third. So, I mean, you know, that's where it is. That's where it is with that one. But I'm not mad at Jason Tatum I'm not mad at Ben Simmons for winning NBA Rookie of the Year. You know, all three of them deserve to win that award. NBA Sixth Man of the Year went to Lou Williams of the Clippers. Eric Gordon of the Houston Rockets finished second, and Fred Van Fleet of the Toronto Raptors finished third, and it's pretty good. Van Fleet was a good player. Gordon probably could have won that. You know what I'm saying? Eric Gordon, and we all know what Eric Gordon is, and we all know what Lou Williams is, but we all know what Eric Gordon is. So Gordon could have won that Sixth Man of the Year, but there ain't no big thing. Ain't no big deal. Defensive Player of the Year went to Rudy Gobert. Anthony Davis finished second. Joel Embiid finished third. Anthony Davis finished second in MVP voting and Defensive Player of the Year vote. I'm just saying, Anthony Davis vote. Most improved player went to Victor Oladipo, like I said. Clint Capella finished second. And Spencer Dinwiddie of the Nets finished third. No argument in there. Victor Oladipo balled out this year. Definitely was the most improved player. NBA Coach of the Year went to Dwayne Casey. Even though he was fired by the Toronto Raptors, he's now the coach of the Detroit Pistons. Quinn Snyder finished second, and Brad Stevens finished third. So just be on the lookout for Brad Stevens to win this award many, many, many times. So, the Sega Strong Award. I didn't watch the whole NBA awards, but I did see I did tune in around the Sega Strong Award. I actually forgot the NBA awards was coming up. Oh well, but the Sega Strong Award that went to basically that's kind of like the word is on my damn but basically this is the person who I want not ethical not entrepreneur but shit, what's the damn? I can't even think of the damn word I want to use right now. But humanitarian. Basically, yeah, I'm fucking up. So it's like a humanitarian award, right? And Dikembe Mutombo is a NBA player that I've always admired as a man because he won the award for what he did for his community in a Democratic Republic of the Congo, and how he built the hospital, and the Congo was able to save lives. How he consistently gives back to his homeland. Message, all you NBA players right here in the United States who leave your cities and don't ever give back. Dikembe Mutombo come from halfway around the world, from another country on another continent, and his only mission, one of his valued missions, one of his true missions, is to build up his homeland. I greatly admire Dikembe Mutombo for that, his humanitarian acts and all that he does for his people. So he won the Craig Sager Award, and they gave him the ugly Sager jacket. But one time for Mutombo, because I think that's like the best award to get, the humanitarian award, the person who you didn't give back to get awards, but your giving back got you awards. Now, me personally, I don't give a shit about awards. I don't. I don't really get awards either, but I don't give a shit about awards, but I'm not mad at awards, but I don't really give a damn. It's the work. It's not the awards that make you feel good. It's the people who have been able to benefit from your service. That's the real reward. That's the real award. When you are able to see people who are genuinely able to benefit from your direct service. And Dikembe Mutombo, my hat's off to you. You get the hand claps for winning the Sager Strong Award because I greatly admire what you do, the work that you have done, and the work that you're going to continue to do in the future. As a man, Dikembe Mutombo, I have great respect for you. Yes. So I just wanted to make sure I do that, go through that, and that's the NBA awards. So now we're talking about NBA free agency, right? Because it's a lot going on in NBA free agency, and it's a lot that we think could happen, a lot that we might want to happen. So we're talking about Paul George. What is Paul George going to do? What is Kawhi Leonard going to do? What is LeBron James going to do? All right, so Kawhi Leonard has made it clear that he wants to leave San Antonio. And it's reports that the 76ers or the Lakers could be in the running, or even the Bostons could be in the running for Kawhi. So if the Boston goes out for Kawhi, they could potentially give up Gordon Hayward, a future first-round pick, or Gordon Hayward, Terry Rozier in the future first-round pick, Gordon Hayward, Brown in the future pick. But we know Gordon Hayward would be one who would be on the block to be traded to go to San Antonio if it's the Boston option. If it's the 76er option, they're going to lose a lot. They'll lose a lot of pieces. So I'm not sure exactly which pieces. Covington and some other people would have to leave from Philly. But I don't see that Philly option being a great one. That's probably like at the bottom. But then you got the Lakers. The Lakers who could give up Ball, Kuzma, and Ingram if they would take Ball. But if not Ball, Kuzma, and Ingram, Kuzma, Ingram, Hart, or some other players and things like that. But there are pieces on the table for the Lakers to make a trade with San Antonio, and both teams come out good because let's say San Antonio go with the Lakers and they send Ball, Kuzma, and Ingram. That's good. That's good for San Antonio moving forward, and that's good for the Lakers right now moving forward because especially if the Lakers can manage to get Kawhi, that could possibly help them land LeBron. So, but before we get to the LeBron thing, now Paul George has reported that Paul George basically may stay in Oklahoma City. He opted out of his contract. He opted out of the last year of his contract. And now Paul George seems like he's going to stay in Oklahoma City with Russell and Carmelo, right? But if he doesn't, if Paul George doesn't, Paul George could possibly sign with the Lakers, possibly sign with Philadelphia. But I'm not thinking that's something that Paul George may want to do. If I'm Paul George, I would think about signing with Philadelphia or even staying with Oklahoma. Oklahoma is one of the top 10, top 6 best teams in the league with Paul George playing with Russell Westbrook. But the question is, how far would these boys go? Because as I just told you, remember the 76ers got put out by the Utah Jazz led by the rookie Donovan Mitchell. So, I mean, not the 76ers, the Oklahoma City Thunder with Paul George, Carmelo, and Russell. And it's a lot of things over there in Oklahoma City that we need to think about. But those are things that could happen now with LeBron James, free agency coming up. Stephen A. Smith reported yesterday that LeBron James sent a text message to Kevin Durant saying, hey, let's team up and go play on the Lakers. And then in that same video that I watched, Stephen A. Smith also said that LeBron James can't deny those allegations, that they did not tweet any, they did not tweet Kevin Durant and say, hey, let's team up and go play on the Lakers. So these are things that Stephen A. Smith reported and then unreported when it came to LeBron James's free agency moves, right? So now that would be kind of fire, LeBron James and KD playing together, but it depends on how that team comes together, because LeBron James, if LeBron James initiates something saying, hey, KD, let's play together, then LeBron James can be seen as soft, the same way we look at Kevin Durant as soft for going to play with Golden State after Golden State beat his ass, because, you know, Kevin Durant and Golden State then won 2 back-to-back championships over LeBron and the Cavs. So LeBron can't say, hey, KD, come play with me. I need you to come play with me, because then LeBron going to be looked at soft. Now, with LeBron and the free agency thing, a lot of people get on LeBron about the decision that was made when he went to Miami. I don't, because, first of all, like I say, y'all players, fuck the media that's talking to, that try to put the players at a higher standard of living and existing than the team. A team can trade your ass or cut your ass with no communication. So a player don't have to say shit. The team don't have to say it, the player don't have to say it. Had these mercenary mentalities. But LeBron made a decision in 08 to go to Miami, and people jumped on him because they said he didn't alert Cleveland. Fuck Cleveland. You know how the people acting and Dan Gilbert and all these things here. I still say LeBron shouldn't have never went back to Cleveland. Fuck Dan Gilbert. You know what I'm saying? He shouldn't have never went back to Cleveland. But now this is the situation you in, and LeBron could stay. They drafted Colin Sexton. He could stay. He could leave. I prefer him to leave. If he leave, go to Boston. If he leave, go to Boston. But that's just me. I don't think that's going to happen. I think if LeBron leaves, LeBron will probably go to L.A. But we're going to have to see what happens in L.A. It seems like Paul George may stay in Oklahoma. Kawhi does want to go to L.A. He does want to get out there, and he do want to go to L.A. And it's been reported that there are trade talks between the Lakers and the Spurs, as we speak. Trade deadline is coming up. You go see what happens. Jamal Crawford is reported to might sign with the Warriors. I don't think Swaggy P will go back with the Warriors. So it's talks that Jamal Crawford may sign with the Warriors and become another piece off the bench for the Warriors. And we know Jamal Crawford, former Sixth Man of the Year. If he still got the fire, that'd be nice for the Warriors coming off the bench, you know. So, and also talks and the news have been surrounding the rookie for the Utah Jazz, Grayson Allen, who was introduced with the team not too long ago, a couple days ago, and the talks about Grayson Allen is, what type of player was Grayson at Duke, and what type of player would Grayson Allen be in the NBA upcoming this year? Let me be on record saying that Joseph Ward thinks that Grayson Allen is a fuckboy. I do. And the excuse he was using for all the fuck shit that he was doing, the tripping and all the other stuff, was that he loved basketball too much. Typical white male shit. I say any dumb shit. Because remember, I told you, white men don't necessarily have to grow up. Remember, I told you that, right? Grayson Allen was a fuckboy at Duke. Let's just call it what it is. He was a fuckboy. And you can't come into the NBA like that. Because you're going to meet some dudes who are going to put them hands on you and meet you in the locker room. So we're going to see what type of player Grayson Allen is in the NBA. I think Grayson Allen has talent, but I didn't think Grayson Allen was that damn good to be worth all the truck. And I still don't think he's good enough to be worth all the truck. So what type of man are you going to be, Grayson Allen? Going to continue being the fuckboy that you always been? Or are you going to grow up and not let your emotions, because you are emotionally unstable, and not let your emotions get the best of you? Because if you allow your emotions to get the best of you, you might end up getting your ass whooped in the NBA. I just want to let you know that. I do want to let you know that if you don't get your shit together, you might end up getting your ass whooped. So we're going to see. Grayson Allen, he probably is most likely to come off the bench and do what he got to do, work his way up into the starting line, and we all see. But just something to keep your eye on. Something to keep your eye on. So that's my NBA talk, man. That's my NBA talk for right now. You know, as more stuff happening in the NBA, I keep you abreast to it. If Paul George signs, if Kawhi signs, if LeBron signs, and who happens and what goes where and all that bullshit there. All that who shot John. All right. I just felt like making that noise. Let's talk a little World Cup, a little soccer, a little football. So I'll give you an update on soccer, where who's staying, who's going, who won the groups, and how it's going down. What time the games are played and how it's going down. It's all until it's all because we got to know now. Right? So at the top of Group A, Uruguay and Russia. So I'm gonna go through each group and tell you what everything means. So the top of Group A is Russia and Uruguay. Well, Uruguay number one, Russia number two. Because let's see how many groups is Group A, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So eight groups. And now we in the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So now we're in the round of 16. So group eight. So two teams from each group play to make it to the round of 16, right? So in group A, we got Uruguay and Russia. Uruguay ended with 9 points. Russia ended with 6 points. Group B got Spain and Portugal. Spain won the group. And then Portugal came second place out the group. Group C, we have France and Denmark. France, number one. Denmark is number two. Group B is Croatia, number one, and Argentina, number two. Group E is Brazil, number one, and Switzerland, number two. Group F is Sweden, number one, and Mexico, number two. Group G is Belgium, number one, and England, number two. And group H is Colombia, number one, and Japan, number two. Right. So, man, it's going down. Belgium and England. So let me give you the the matchups for the round of 16. So we have Uruguay and Portugal, France and Argentina, Brazil and Mexico. That'll be a good game. Belgium and Japan, Spain and Russia, Croatia and Denmark, Sweden and Switzerland, and then Colombia and England. And that those are the round of 16 games, right? And so France and Argentina, they're going to – Saturday, June 30th, France and Argentina are going to play at 10 a.m. And then Saturday, June 30th, Uruguay is going to play Portugal in the first of the games of the round of 16. Sunday, July 1st, Spain is going to play Russia at 10 a.m., and then Croatia is going to play Denmark at 2 p.m. Sunday, July 2nd, Brazil is going to play Mexico at 10 a.m., and Belgium is going to play, Monday, July 2nd, Brazil is going to play Mexico at 10 a.m., Belgium is going to play Japan at 2 p.m. Boy, I can't wait. I can't wait, but I'm going to watch that game. Tuesday, July 3rd, Sweden is going to play Switzerland at 10 a.m., and Colombia is going to play England at 2 p.m. on Tuesday, July 3rd. So, going down. 1, 2, 4, 6, 8. That's 8 games. And so, you know, it's going down. So, that's a little update on soccer. You know, it's a lot happening. I didn't really get to watch a lot of these last couple games. Time the games have been coming on. I really been missing the game, so I wish I had more commentary about the game, and I don't right now. But I'm glad Brazil made it. I'm glad Mexico made it. I wish Nigeria, Senegal would have been able to get through. You know, Brazil, it's mostly Brazil and Mexico, but they got to play. So I got to choose Brazil over Mexico. But it's coming up, though, man. It's this World Cup, though, man. If you ain't been watching it, watch it. You missing out. You tripping. And if you want to be cool in life, you need to do what I tell you to do if you want to be cool in life. So, yep. So tomorrow, Saturday, June 30th, be ready for France and Argentina and Uruguay and Portugal. So that, my friend, is my update on the World Cup soccer and them little ass shorts. Soccer players still got on little ass shorts. Soccer players soft as hell, too. Man, y'all stop rolling around on the goddamn ground like that with all that crazy shit after you get tripped up and stuff. So, NFL Top 100. NFL Top 100. I gave you the list from 99 to like 20-something last week. But today, on this good, fantastic, freaky, fortified, faithful, and Friday, I'm gonna start from 25 to number 1. I'm gonna be more critical of the top 10. So 25 is Cam Newton. He was named the 25th best player in the NBA, in the NFL. Number 24 was the tight end for the Kansas City Chiefs, Travis Kelce. 23, cornerback Patrick Peterson, Pat Pete. He was 19 last year. Number 22 is A.J. Green, wide receiver, Cincinnati Bengals. Last year, he was 17. 21 is Bobby Wagner, linebacker for the Seattle Seahawks. He was 39 last year. Number 20 is the rookie running back, Alvin Kamara, for the New Orleans Saints. Number 19 is Everson Griffin, defensive end for the Minnesota Vikings. Last year, he was 92. Number 18 is quarterback Ben Roethlisberger of the Pittsburgh Steelers. He was 22 last year. Number 17 is Jalen Ramsey, cornerback for the Jacksonville Jaguars. He didn't make the list last year. Some say Jalen Ramsey is the best cornerback in the league. Number 16 is Khalil Mack, defensive end, Oakland Raiders. He was number 5 last year. Number 15 is tight end Rob Gronkowski of the New England Patriots, who was number 23 last year. Number 14 is defensive end Calais Campbell of the Jacksonville Jaguars, who was number 83 last year. Number 13 was DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver of the Houston Texans, one of the best receivers in the league. He wasn't ranked last year, but he's 13 this year. Number 12 is Luke Kuechly, the linebacker for the Carolina Panthers last year. He was 20, my favorite linebacker in the NFL. Number 11 is Russell Wilson, quarterback of the Seattle Seahawks. Last year, he was 24. All right, so top 10. Top 10 is, number 10 is Aaron Rodgers, quarterback of the Green Bay Packers. Number 9, Von Miller, linebacker, Denver Broncos, who was number 2 last year. Number 8, quarterback Drew Brees, who was number 16 last year. Number 7, Aaron Donald, defensive tackle for the Los Angeles Rams, number 15 last year. Number 6, Todd Gurley, also the L.A. Rams. Running back, he wasn't ranked last year. Number 5, Le'Veon Bell of the Pittsburgh Steelers, who was ranked number 9 last year. Number 4, Julio Jones, who was ranked number 3 last year, wide receiver for the Atlanta Falcons. Number 3, Carson Wentz, quarterback of the Philadelphia Eagles, who was unranked last year. Number 2, Antonio Brown, wide receiver for the Pittsburgh Steelers, who was ranked number 4 last year. And number 1 is the GOAT, who we all expected to be number 1, the GOAT, Thomas F. Brady, who was what? Number 1 last year. Now, I saw a lot of other sports people talking about they didn't like the list. As if we give a damn what y'all think about the list. This list was put together by people who played against these people. This list was about, because analysts or people who got these TV shows were saying, well, this guy did this in the last 4 years. This the top 100 list, for any of y'all who don't know, the top 100 list is about the best 100 players of the past season. They don't give a shit about what you did 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, 10 years ago, or what you plan on doing in the future. This list was about the top 100 best players of the 2017 season. That's what this was about. So people had problems with Aaron Rodgers being number 10 and saying Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback in the league. I disagree. Thomas F. Brady is the best quarterback in the league. Aaron Rodgers is a great quarterback, second best quarterback. I give him that, but not over Thomas. No, no, no. And everybody be like, well, Aaron Rodgers has tools. He's the best quarterback talent. There's things I've ever seen, most athletic. That's fine, but Aaron Rodgers ain't winning like Tom Brady. Aaron Rodgers has not lived up to the billing as a winner. Let's just be real. He has his one Super Bowl run and Super Bowl MVP, yes. But Aaron Rodgers don't win like Thomas F. Brady. So stop with this. Aaron Rodgers is a better quarterback. Aaron Rodgers may be more athletic. Hell, my mama more athletic than Tom Brady. But shit, that don't mean she better than Tom Brady. Tom Brady is the motherfucking GOAT. Hands down, period. Tom Brady is the best quarterback we've ever seen play the position outside of Dan Marino. Dan Marino, the only quarterback to me that you can be like, hey, man, this dude right here. Outside of that, maybe John Elway. But goddammit, Thomas F. Brady is the best player in the NFL. Some people had problems with defensive players being in the top 10. Why? Because they fuck boys. Defensive players, it's about time defensive players get their just due. I'm glad that Von Miller is number 9. I'm glad that Aaron Donald is number 7. I'm glad that so it's Aaron Donald and Von Miller made the top 10. Right? So, and outside of that is Khalil Mack. So Aaron Donald is 7. Von Miller is 9. Right? And so Luke Kuechly is the top defensive player outside of that. So you got Luke Kuechly. Then you got Calais Campbell, and then Khalil Mack. So Khalil Mack is 16, defensive player. Then you got Calais Campbell at 14. Then you got Luke Kuechly at 12. Then you got Von Miller at 9. I love that defensive players are not getting their just due, man. Defensive players be balling, man. And just because you don't have the ball in your hand to score points don't mean you don't get your just due. So defensive players be not doing anything. So that's the NFL Top 100. And, you know, they put this list out every year of who was the best players in the league this past year. And once again, the top 10 is Aaron Rodgers at number 10, Von Miller at number 9, Drew Brees at number 8, Aaron Donald at number 7, Todd Gurley at number 6, Le'Veon Bell at number 5, Julio Jones at number 4, Carson Wentz at number 3, Antonio Brown at number 2, and the GOAT himself, Thomas F. Brady, at number 1. The top 100 players. So Brady is number 1. Who's number 9? So 100 is – number 100 is Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, and number 1 is Thomas F. Brady. So there it is, man. NFL Top 100. All right, and further NFL news. Apparently, while Janoris Jenkins, the cornerback, Jackrabbit, baller, cornerback for the New York Giants, apparently while he was in Florida or away from his home for training camp, a dead body was found in his house that was either due to strangulation or suffocation, according to the reports. Now they're saying an arrest was made. So let me read this. Authorities have charged a New Jersey man with aggravated manslaughter in connection with the death of a guest at a home associated with NFL player Janoris Jenkins, prosecutors said Wednesday. William H. Jenkins Jr. III. Oh, shit. I said H. Jr. I said Jr. III. William H. Jenkins Jr., a 34-year-old man, was arrested early Tuesday on parole violation in Ontario County in upstate New York, according to Ontario County District Attorney James Ritz. Jenkins is in custody in the Ontario County Jail, acting Bergen County, New Jersey, prosecutor Dennis Kahlo said in the news release. It was not immediately clear whether William H. Jenkins Jr. is related to the 29-year-old New York Giants cornerback. William H. Jenkins Jr. is listed as living in the same home in Fair Lawn, north of Newark, where the body was found, prosecutors said. It couldn't be immediately determined whether William H. Jenkins had an attorney. On Tuesday, authorities discovered Roosevelt Renee, 25-year-old male, at the Fairlawn home, prosecutors said. Renee was a family friend who had been living at the residence. The cause of the manner of Renee's death has yet to be determined by the Bergen County Medical Examiner's Office, Carlos Statement said. Search of property records showed the Fairlawn home is the most recent address listed for a former NFL player. Neither Janoris Jenkins nor the representative for New York Giants could be reached Tuesday. So, citing sources, ESPN reported Jenkins is aware of the investigation. The NFL player was not home when the body was discovered. He has been in Florida since the end of Giants minicamp 2 weeks ago. So I am glad that so far, as we know, Janoris Jenkins is not a part of this. I just hope overall that Janoris Jenkins is not a part of this and isn't going to get caught up or his career, his life, or anything messed up behind the death of some person, or the killing, the murder of a man at his home. But I will say, you got to get you some new friends, my friend. Definitely got to get you some new friends. You definitely can't be hanging with motherfuckers that's going to have dead motherfuckers showing up at your house. What the fuck is that? Right? So, I don't know more details than what I've read you. So we're going to find out more. And as I learn more, of course, you know, I'm going to tell you more. But you can't have people around you that's going to cause stuff like this. So some people got to be eliminated from your life. Some people just got to be eliminated from your life. Because there ain't no way in hell I'm going to wake up one day and some shit going on surrounding my house and my homeboys who are at my house, and they're talking about somebody dead. We're going to have a problem. So, Janoris, you already know. You already know what it is, man. Get you some new friends, man, because can't be around no fuck boys that's going to be fucking trying to fuck your life up. You know what I'm talking about? All right, and further football news, right? Talking about death in football. The parents of former Washington State quarterback Tyler Helinski say that he had CTE when he committed suicide. And if you don't know what CTE is, basically when you receive so many brain injuries over an amount of time, CTE is a condition that basically a degenerative condition of the brain that causes people to, you know, lose cognitive function, may cause harm to themselves, and will have long-term effects on them. Watch the movie Concussion. So the parents of former Washington State quarterback Tyler Helinski said that their son had a traumatic, had chronic traumatic encephalopathy. That's what CTE stands for, chronic traumatic encephalopathy. Encephalopathy. I can't say that, but CTE, the time of his death. Man, they say his brain was like a 62-year-old man. So Helinski, the Cougars' backup quarterback, committed suicide in the Pullman, Washington apartment on January 16th, 2 days after my birthday. What you doing, man? On Tuesday morning, more than 5 months later, Mark and Kim Helinski told NBC Today Show that an autopsy conducted by the Mayo Clinic revealed the presence of a degenerative brain disorder, which has been linked in several years to football, to playing football. It was a shock to get those results and to find out he had it, Kim Helinski told Today, and to realize that the report that he loved and realize that the sport he loved may have contributed to that diagnosis. The medical examiner said he had the brain of a 65-year-old, her husband Mark added. He was the sweetest, most outgoing, loving kid that was difficult to hear. Helinski had been projected to be Washington State's starting quarterback this fall. Police found his body during a welfare check after he missed practice. The diagnosis of Helinski CTE is the latest case in which evidence of the disease has been found on the brain of a former NFL player. A 2017 study by the Mayo Clinic found that 110 of 111 former NFL players whose brains were donated to research had evidence of the disease, which can only be confirmed by autopsy. Man, I wonder if I have CTE, because I have taken some shots over the years. The findings suggest that CTE may be related to prior participation in football and that a high level of play may be related to substantial disease burden, according to the authors of the 2017 study, which was led by researchers at the Boston University and the VA Boston Healthcare System. According to Chris Nowinski of the Concussion Legacy Foundation, Helinski is the second active college football player whose brain has shown evidence of CTE at the time of his death. Researchers also found early stages of the disease in the brain of the University of Pennsylvania football player Owen Thomas, who killed himself in 2010. Woo! We got to get our brains checked, gentlemen. We got to get our brains checked, gentlemen. Like, the CTE stuff, man, it's serious out here. We definitely, football people who play football, it's making me think and making me realize that I might need to get my brain checked. Like I said, I've taken some shots over the years, and the result of some of the results of some of those shots long term, I don't necessarily know, right? But see, that's why I'm saying I might need to go ahead and get myself checked out. And I encourage every other person who have played sports and have had real shots, like, you know, I was down to dropping people. They called me the hitman because I was dropping folk. And there's times I hit people and stuff went blank. And I remember, like, middle school, I got kneed in the head, stuff went blank, and all these things here. So I know I need to get checked out. But men, football players, hockey players, men who've taken shots to the head because of athletics and other things, get yourselves checked out. Get yourselves checked out. I know as I get older, I try to make sure I'm taking care of myself. But we can't be so manly that we overlook things. Like this CTE and also something like mental health, men, it's time for us to start standing up and being men and really stop being afraid to check ourselves out. Stop being afraid to find out what's wrong with us so we can fix something that may be wrong with us. But I hope we don't have more Tyler Helinskis. That's my hope. But reality is, the nature of the sport and the nature of how things get down, there are going to be more Tyler Helinskis. So the question is, what are we, the sports community, what are we going to do about it? The human community, the community of men, what are we going to do about it? Because if we just talk about it, nothing's going to change. So we need to make sure that we are being active and encouraging people to check themselves out. Because the CTE stuff and the suicide is real. It's definitely real. I know when the news first came out about CTE, you had a lot of people saying that it wasn't real, whatever, yada yada yada. You know, you had the African doctor I can't think of his name, but he discovered CTE, and everybody was trying to rip him to shreds. Because of that, now everybody's on board with CTE. So, you know. But that's something to look at, something to think about. Don't overlook what's going on with CTE because, oh, man, I'm straight, dog. I feel good, dog. I'm straight, dog. You know what I'm talking about, dog? I feel good, dog. You know what I'm talking about, dog? You know what I'm talking about, dog? Nah, bruh. I feel good, dog. You know what I'm talking about? Nah, dog. Fuck all that. Fuck all that trying to be tough shit. Fuck that shit. Being a man is about taking care of yourself. Bam, shibab. All right. More football news. The NFL fines ex-Panthers owner Jerry Richardson fuckboy bulldog face $2.75 million for his misconduct. Right? The league said Thursday the investigation conducted by former U.S. Attorney Mary Jo White substantiated the allegations against Richardson that the improper conduct was limited to him and that the team and its ownership failed to report the allegations or any resolution agreements to the league. Fuck you, Jerry Richardson. You was a bitch. The league also said most of the money would go toward organizations that address racial and gender-based issues in and outside the workplace. We know where the money ain't gonna go for racial issues, and if so, it won't be a lot. Richardson put the team up for sale after a Sports Illustrated report in December that Richardson made sexually suggestive comments to women on at least one occasion directed a racial slur at an African American. What is going on? Hold on, let me get my stuff together. He directed a racial slur. I lost my place. At an African American Panther scout. The report also stated that the settlements came with non-disclosure requirements forbidding the parties from discussing the details. Richardson has an agreement to sell the Panthers for a league record $2.2 billion to hedge fund president and owner David Tepper. The league owners unanimously approved the sale last month. The NFL officials said the sale is expected to be close in the next 2 weeks. Tepper is the former minority owner of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Coach Ron Rivera declined to comment Thursday on Richardson's fine when reached by the Associated Press. General Manager Marty Herney did not immediately return a message seeking comment. White, who was also appointed by NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell as the independent investigator, said her findings and recommendations are the product of a review that included interviews with team executives, former and current employees, document analysts, and electronic records. White states that the Panthers' anti-harassment and discrimination policy should help prevent a reoccurrence, and she and Goodell recommended the team report on its internal policies and procedures that address racial discrimination and sexual harassment claims, as well as related workplace issues by the end of the year. And if you don't, I'm going to bust your motherfucking asses. She also recommended the league prohibit non-disclosure agreements to limit the reporting of potential violations or cooperation with league investigations, require workplace misconduct claims to be reported to the league office, establish a confidential hotline for league and team employees to report workplace conduct issues and review policies and procedures with owners, team counsel, and human resource executives. Bitches. The NFL said the recommendations will be presented to the league's conduct committee before the coming offseason. Jerry Richardson still need his motherfucking ass whooped. Him giving up $2.75 million ain't that big a deal. Really ain't that big a deal. Jerry Richardson still need his bitch ass whooped. But it's that culture of rape, that culture of disrespect, right, for women. That's what we're dealing with Jerry Richardson. And this next story that we're rolling into with Jameis Winston, a culture of disrespect towards women. Men, we got to do a better job of, one, respecting women, and two, teaching others to respect women and creating a culture of respect for women. And if you can't create a culture of respect for women, then we got to create a culture of getting rid of fuckboys, fucking up fuckboys, right? We have no place for fuckboys in our society. We have no place for bitch-ass boys in our society. We have no place for rapists, pedophiles, or any other fuck shit, woman beaters, none of that fuck shit in our community. We have, I'm on my pre-rant rant now. Fuck that shit. Going into the Jameis Winston shit. Fuck you, Jerry Richardson. You need your ugly ass whooped. Yes, Jerry Richardson, you's an ugly motherfucker. And you need your bitch-ass whooped for that dumb shit you did, racial and sexual discrimination against people. You's a fuck boy, Jerry Richardson. They should have dug in your pockets even more. Right? Because if Jerry Richardson is selling the team for $2.2 billion, but his fine is $2.75 million, I mean, shit, he got the money to pay for it. So there are no real consequences to these actions, and that's one of the biggest things that's my issue, is there are no real consequences to people like Jerry Richardson. A wealthy billionaire white man can only be taken down by another wealthy billionaire white man who gives a shit about what's going on around. And if other wealthy billionaire white men don't give a shit around about what's going on, that's an issue. Now, those other people who could take down those wealthy billionaire white men is the people. The people get together and say, fuck y'all, crackers, you racist, sexist, sons of bitches, fuck y'all. That happens, then we could do a lot of stuff. But fuck you, Jerry Richardson. All right. Jameis Winston has been suspended 3 games for his sexual misconduct allegations upon an Uber driver in 2016. So apparently it was Winston, Ronald Darby, another dude in the car. And after the other two got out of the car, Winston got in the front seat and allegedly grabbed the lady's crotch. And then didn't tell nobody. Then no police was called and all these things. So we got a big issue, but it all led to no arrest because no police were called, no police report was filed, none of that. But Jameis Winston being suspended 3 games. So Tampa Bay Buccaneers quarterback Jameis Winston has been suspended 3 games to start the 2018 season for an incident that took place over 2 years ago. The NFL suspended Winston under its personal conduct policy, a broad and nebulous framework that operates at the discretion of the commissioner. It came under significant scrutiny last season while Dallas Cowboys running back Ezekiel Elliott challenged it in federal court, and no real evidence was still found to suspend Ezekiel Elliott. The Winston situation is complex. It isn't like a drug suspension for which specific penalties are laid out for specific offenses in a collectively bargained policy. The situation involves a lot of factors ranging from the conduct cloud under which Winston entered the NFL to the conflicting accounts of what happened on the night in question. It's one of those disciplinary matters the NFL so often seems to take on despite the lack of helpful precedent or self-imposed guidance. But take it on the NFL has, and the result is that Winston was suspended. We're here. To help try to answer some of the questions you may have about this whole thing, how and why it went down and the way it did. So basically what it's all about, quick summary, March 2016, a couple of months after the end of Winston's rookie season in NFL, Winston was partying with friends in Scottsdale, Arizona, and ended up in the Uber. The driver of the Uber, whose identity still hasn't been revealed, alleged that Winston grabbed her crotch while they were waiting in the restaurant drive-thru lane, right? She didn't press charges, because that's what I'm asking. Did she press charges? No, she didn't press charges, right? She did not and still has not, though she did report the allegations, the alleged incident to Uber, which deactivated Winston's account shortly after the night in question, right? So did anyone find out about this? This is what the article is saying, this ESPN article. The incident only came to light last fall when Winston's accuser shared her story with BuzzFeed News. At that point, the NFL launched this investigation into the matter. And what has Winston said about it? That's the next question in the article. So, in a November 17th Instagram post, Winston denied allegations, writing in part, "I believe the driver was confused as to the number of passengers in the car and who was sitting next to her. The accusation is false." After the NFL announced the suspension Thursday, Winston released a longer statement, which read in part, "I would like to say I'm sorry to the Uber driver for the position I put you in." Winston has informed the NFL that he would not appeal the suspension. Are there any witnesses? Philadelphia Eagles cornerback Ronald Darby, a former Florida State teammate of Winston, issued a statement shortly after the incident. Shortly after the publication of the BuzzFeed story, saying that he was in the car with Winston that night and he was confident that nothing inappropriate in nature happened in the car that evening, and Jameis did not have any physical contact with the Uber driver. So, but Outside the Lines reported late last week that the other individual with Winston Darby that night was former Vanderbilt football player Brandon Banks, who served a 15-year prison sentence for rape and sexual battery. Banks' attorney told Outside the Lines that Banks disputes Darby's account and says Banks and Darby put Winston in Uber alone that night. Ooh. Right. Oh, shit. Shit hitting the fan. So, how did the NFL figure out what happened? Details of the NFL's investigations remain unclear. The details of the Ezekiel investigation came out only after its appeal hearing last season. But there are indications via leaked sources that Winston may have taken more than one Uber ride that night, meaning that Darby's account and Banks' account aren't necessarily mutually exclusive. Whatever the league learned, it determined that it had enough evidence to suspend Winston for his behavior that night. The league statement says that its investigation found that the driver's account of the incident was consistent and credible. As a result, the investigation had concluded that Winston violated personal conduct policy by touching the driver in an inappropriate sexual manner. So Winston fucked up, according to the account. So the thing about Winston is, why? What the hell is going on in your head? And are you a sexual deviant? Like I said last time, are you a sexual deviant? Do you have respect for women if all of this is true? Because we still only have stories and conflicting stories and some stories that are seen to be consistent but conflicting stories. So we don't have real evidence to show that, yes, he's absolutely guilty. But what we do know is, the question is, why are you in this situation? Like I said last week, Winston, why are you in this situation? I don't know if Winston really... I don't know. But I do want to give more updates, more details on this story. I can't go in like I want to go in, but I can't because I don't have enough evidence and information either way to kind of go in. But I will say, once I find out my information, weekly rant material. Once I do figure find out, weekly rant material. But what I do know, Winston, why you keep finding yourself in these situations where you're accused of sexual misconduct. What is up with that? Are you a sexual deviant? If you're a sexual deviant, We need to go ahead and kick your ass right now and kick you out the league and get you somewhere where you can get some help. Because we ain't got no room for sexual deviance in our community. That we don't. And playing football don't mean you can put your hands on other women. And if you still, if you're still with that same girl, that same woman who's been with you the whole time, she's stupid. She's crazy as hell for being with you. Because that word on the street, I don't know if it's true, word on the street was that Winston got a pregnant as his fiance and all that. If it's the same girl who's been with you the whole time, she's stupid. Because apparently you can't keep your hands to yourself. And everybody already know you fucking other girls. Everybody already know that. We knew that with the sexual battery charges that you got or the rape allegations that you got at Florida State. God damn, Winston. Get your life together, man. Get some new friends around. Get better people around you, man. Stop. I don't know. But once I do find out, and let me find all the way out, you fucked up. Either one, I'm going all the way in. Going all the way in. But I do know, Winston, you keep finding yourself in these situations. Question for you is why? And he said he's going to stop drinking alcohol. Was alcohol don't make people fuck boys. Being a fuck boy, it's either in you or it ain't. I'm going to leave that like that. Time for this goddamn weekly rant. And the weekly rant is aimed at Deontay Wilder, who claiming that Joshua, that Anthony Joshua is ducking him for the fight, but he don't want to sign the motherfucking contracts. And he's talking about the he ain't signed a contract because it didn't include a date or a venue. All right. The WBC champion also revealed he took issue with the rematch clause in the contract, which would only apply if Wilder won. A unification showdown between three-belt world champion Joshua, three-belt champion Joshua, and one-belt holder Wilder has been put on hold after the Brit was ordered to fight Alexander Povetkin for the WBA because Wilder taking too goddamn long, so Joshua got to go fight and defend his other belts because Wilder taking too fucking long. Wilder has reacted furiously to the latest development and accusations from the Joshua camp that claimed the American never had any intention of signing the contract. Matchroom boss Eddie Hearn believes Wilder was bluffing throughout the talks, but the heavyweight champion has dismissed those allegations. It was simple. The two things were simple. How can you send a contract to anybody when you don't have a date on there? Wilder said to the Boxing Voice podcast. Nor do you have a venue up there. He's sending the contract just saying, sign it. And then another thing that was up there was talking about if I beat Joshua, he gets a rematch. But if he beats me, then it's up to him if he wants to decide if there's a rematch. It's either going to be both of us having rematch clauses or none at all. There's going to be a rematch or no rematch at all. It's crazy. I wish both of y'all stop acting like this weekly rant going at both of y'all. Fuck this shit. Wilder and Joshua, both of y'all need to stop acting like little bitches, man. Can we get a championship? See, this is why people ain't fucking with boxing. And this is why people not fucking with the heavyweight division. This is why we really only want to see Canelo, the Triple G Canelo. We want to see that. And we want to see Crawford and Spence. More than we want to see Wilder and Joshua. And this is the reason why. Because y'all be about this fuck shit, man. Just fucking fight. Fight, man. Fight. Just fight. Both of you are professional boxers. Just fight. Fuck all the dumb shit. Just fight, man. Get your turns together and fight. Like, Wilder. We've said this before. Deontay Wilder. You are not as live as you think you are. You are 40 fights in, and you only have one belt. You are 30 years old, 40 fights in, and you only have one belt, and you are not a draw. You are not a draw. Most people didn't even know who you were outside of Alabama till earlier this year. If you wasn't into boxing, which, like me, admittedly, I've been more into boxing since I've been doing this show, but if you haven't been into boxing, you had no idea who the hell granted, you didn't know who Joshua is either, but Joshua is a global draw. Wilder is only a semi-American draw. Talk to the boxing people that I've talked to. say that Wilder isn't really that much of a draw outside of his own state. I don't think Wilder has had a fight with more than 10,000 people in attendance. So my thing is for you, Deontay Wilder, and Anthony Joshua in the camps of both fighters, like, fight, man. What's going on with you all? Like y'all not, like, this shit ain't that serious. And the heavyweight division ain't that live. And it ain't been live for a long time for you guys to be going through this and dragging this thing in the mud. God damn. Would you motherfuckers just fight and stop all this whole shit? All this whole shit, and Deontay Wilder, you getting on Instagram calling people pussies and all this other stuff and yelling and all this other fuck. Man, fuck all that shit, man. Hey, we think you're going to lose to Joshua anyway. Most people believe, Deontay Wilder, that your ass going to lose to Joshua any fucking way because you're a grown-ass man who a 30-year-old boxer, professional boxer who throw punches with your eyes closed. Who do that? What professional fighter really throws punches with their eyes closed? We all know you have a devastating right hand. We know that. But God damn it, when it comes to boxing, nobody believes, many people believe you're going to get your ass whooped. Can you just get in the ring and get your ass whooped so we can see the fight? Can we see this? Everybody understands you got a right hand, a nice right hand, and at any given time, you can drop Joshua at any given time. Cool. But at any given time, Joshua can drop you with both hands. And Joshua is a better boxer than you are. You are a fighter. He's a better boxer than you are. So the thing is, you can't be with all this bravado about fighting and boxing and who's scared of you and who not scared of you and all this other stuff because, come on, bro, you bought the bull. You bought it. Signed the contract. Just signed the contract. We've been waiting on this for so long now. Now we got to wait till 2019 to see this goddamn fight. We six, seven months into 2018. Y'all about this fuck shit, and we got to wait till goddamn 2019. Now Joshua got to fight some other motherfucker. We don't even want to see him fight because he's been forced to fight because your bitch ass don't want to sign the contract. Hey, man, I'm tired of this back and forth between Wilder and Joshua. I'm tired of this shit. Y'all making a motherfucker like me lose interest in y'all shit. Triple G, Canelo, Spence, Errol Spence, and Crawford, Terrence Crawford. Hey, man, hey, one of them shows I called Terrence Clarence. My bad, Terrence. I called you Clarence a couple times. Your name Terrence. So Terrence Crawford, Errol Spence, Triple G, Canelo. Like, what the fuck, Wilder? What the fuck, Joshua? Y'all really think that the heavyweight division is that good? Y'all really think that boxing is where it used to be? That y'all could just finagle this and be with this fuck shit like this? Come on, man. Do better. We need to see a real fight, and we tired of waiting on this fuck shit. The heavyweight division ain't shit. Ain't with you two in it. The heavyweight division ain't shit with you two in it. Damn it, I said it. It ain't shit with y'all in it. Can we see a fight? God damn. Can we see a fight? Like, everybody, we know both of y'all promoters are corrupt. We know that. We already know that y'all, the people handling y'all money and the narratives and all that stuff are corrupt motherfuckers. We know that. We already know that. You the ones agreed to fight with them and be with them. We know that. Can we get a fight? Can we get away from the dumb shit and get a fight? If y'all not gonna fight, stop talking junk. Stop throwing insults and shots at each other back and forth if you ain't gonna fight. We don't want to hear that shit. Same as this new Drake album came out. If I hear Drake throwing the shot at Pusha T, after they said they weren't going to talk about this shit no more, after they said they weren't going to have no replies on that shit, goddamn it, Drake, you're going to end up in my goddamn weekly rant if I hear you talking shit about being a goddamn thug, about being the best. No, nope, Drake, nope. Because you let Jay Prince tell you not to do shit. You better have nothing but love songs on that shit. But anyway, back to you, Deontay Wilder. Fuck all the dumb shit, man. You can't even hardly talk. Can we see a fight from the one-trick pony? Can we see a fight, one-trick pony? Mr. Only, I only have a right hand, no real defense, no real boxing style. Can we see a fight? Can we get past all the bullshit and see a fight? Because the fight is already cheapened with the rematch built into it. That's already cheapened, the fight. Can we see the shit? God damn. Because I tell y'all boys got a couple more months of interest before motherfuckers are fully out of this shit and telling y'all to kiss our ass. Because we really want to see Triple G Canelo and Spence Crawford. And that's all the time I'm going to give you two motherfuckers in my weekly rant. Because, hey, if y'all don't want to fight, why the hell are we giving y'all time? Because you bitches don't want to give us time. So why the fuck we giving y'all time? Get off the dumb shit, man, and put the fight together. Be men. Stop all that dumb shit, because the heavyweight division ain't shit with y'all in it. That's my weekly rant. I am Joseph Ward. This is the Fix Sports Podcast. Hey, man, I thank you all. Thank you all for it. Listening in and supporting me and listening to me rant and talk about sports my way. And I love y'all. So y'all know how we do. Two fingers in the air and we split them apart like we're real players and we just don't care. Peace. I holler.
I am the greatest.
I saw the president. National Guard, we need as many men as you can spare because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back, Jack. And it is 4-1.
His heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lex is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm Nair Claw. There's no one that can